sermon scripture today comes from the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Going to read the first 11 verses of that chapter. And then we're going to hop down to verse 45 and read through verse 49. This is an extremely famous account. I know you've heard about this before. And we're just going to take a little bit of a, hopefully, a fresh look at it again today. 1 Samuel 17. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Socah in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes Damon between Socah and Azekiah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a shekel, or he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you'll become our subjects and serve us." And then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And of course, all the Israelites, upon hearing those blasphemous words of God, they all wanted to rush out as one and fight Goliath, didn't they? No. On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were terrified and dismayed. And now let's hop down to verse 45. David, teenage David, on hearing these taunts, he volunteered to fight Goliath. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And all those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." And as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line, toward Goliath to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it, and he struck the Philistine, on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. And may the Lord add understanding to the reading of his word this morning. I hope that all of you have the sense, the assurance, that as you head into 2019, God is with you, and everything will be okay because God is with you. So many people have a fear and dread of the future. Perhaps not even anything specific, but just a sense of foreboding about what lies ahead. And that is not how the Christian is to live. Indeed, one of the best gifts from God is that sense of assurance and peace that he gives us as we walk through life with him. You'd have to look a long time to find a more unlikely hero than Desmond Doss, who was the real-life subject of the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Doss volunteered for the Army during World War II. Due to his deeply held conviction that God had called him to never carry a weapon, he trained as a medic and he was assigned to a rifle company. Try to imagine refusing to carry a weapon, but being determined to go to war. Doss's convictions earned him ridicule and contempt from his fellow soldiers and disdain from his superiors. But he never wavered. In April of 1945, Doss's company fought in the Battle of Okinawa, which was the bloodiest battle of the Pacific War. The key to winning the Battle of Okinawa was to gain a 400-foot sheer cliff that was a Japanese stronghold that the Americans called Hacksaw Ridge. A bloody battle ensued, but the Japanese held firm, and Doss's company was ordered to withdraw. But as Doss's company was withdrawing, he could see that Americans were wounded. He could see them strewn across the field, and he knew some of them were alive. So Doss stayed behind, and with machine gun and mortar fire all around him, ran repeatedly into the kill zone, carrying the wounded to the edge of the cliff and single-handedly lowering them to safety in a makeshift rope gurney. For 12 hours, he kept at this until he was sure there was no more wounded. There were no more wounded Americans left. By the time he left the ridge, Doss had saved the lives of 75 men. Days later, the Americans took Hacksaw Ridge, while Doss lay wounded in a hospital. When his commanding officer brought him the charred and soggy Bible that Doss had lost in the initial assault, he was told that every man in his company, the same men who had ridiculed him for his faith, had insisted on searching for that Bible until it was found. Doss was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Years later, he was asked how he kept going. His answer was simple. Every time he lowered another man down the cliff, he prayed, "Lord, help me get one more. Help me get one more." As Doss discovered, overcoming is a spiritual issue, and God has called us to be overcomers in this coming year. But overcoming also has a military application. It means to conquer. As followers of the Lord, we are called to conquer the barriers between who we are and who God wants us to be. Our goal is to come over from where we are today to flourish as God wants us to. Janice and I are going right after church. We have to go over to Canton to go to the calling hours for a relative of ours. Really, it's her brother's father-in-law who died, and he was in his 90s. And I found out something about him that I did not know until yesterday. He was actually, you remember the famous picture of the soldiers raising the flag in the Pacific on, I believe it was Iwo Jima. As they were raising that flag, Joe, the gentleman that just passed away, he wasn't in the picture, but he was just right below them, looking up at them. And he saw that happen. And the world might look at that and might think, well, my goodness, he's an overcomer. He went through one of the most bloodiest battles of the war, and he emerged from that. So I guess you could call him an overcomer. Perhaps so. But there was another line in his obituary that Janice pointed out to me that is the true mark of an overcomer, in addition to listing his service and things that he did. And he went on to have a very distinguished career as a newspaper publisher and editor and things. But in his obituary was basically a single line where it said he accepted Christ as his Savior. That's what makes you an overcomer. No matter how heroic or triumphant you may be in life, if you want to be an overcomer for eternity, it is through Christ that that is accomplished. In Israel today, there's a place where a deep ravine lies between two hills. This is believed to be the site where the battle between David and Goliath occurred. On one hill was the army of Israel. On the other hill was the army of the Philistines. And between those hills was a plain about 100 yards wide, about the size of a football field. And in the middle of that plain stood two armies. Between the two armies, a man, a humongous man, would stride out every day and had been coming out every day for weeks, a man named Goliath. And from the side of the Israelites, after weeks of taunts, came a teenager named David. Now, King Saul of the Israelites, he should have been the one who came down there and faced off against Goliath.
The Bible said that Saul was the most imposing among the Israelites. Indeed, it said he was about a head taller than any of the other Israelites. So physically, he would have had the best chance against Goliath, but spiritually, he was not where he should be, and so he was terrified along with the rest. The Bible tells us that Goliath was from Gath. Gath is a well-known Old Testament city. Gath is the place the spies referred to when Moses sent the spies out to spy out the promised land. They went and they looked, and they came upon this city named Gath, and it scared them to death. And they went back to Moses and said, "The people are so huge there, and we are like grasshoppers before them." One scholar says that the description of Goliath here that we have is the most detailed physical description of anybody in the Bible. According to the scriptures, at a time when the average man was about 5 feet tall, Goliath stood somewhere between 9'6" and 9'9" tall. Ben, I wish you probably wish he was on your basketball team there. He is over 2 feet taller than the tallest man who's ever played professional basketball. But he wasn't just tall and skinny. No, he was huge, probably weighing between 400 and 500 pounds. His armor was so huge and heavy that someone of only exceptional strength could lug it around. Twice a day, for 6 weeks, Goliath came out on that plain and bellowed. He cursed the God of Israel, and he dared a soldier to come out and fight him. I could only imagine what a man that size, what his voice would sound like. Back then, we have discussed this in other contexts, back then it was common, instead of having the armies fight and wiping out both sides completely, it was common for each side to pick out its best soldier, and they would fight individually, with the loser being enslaved by the winner. It is no wonder that nobody from the Israelite side wanted to risk that. To come out and oppose Goliath would mean basically certain death. And it would also mean not only certain death for that one, but it would mean enslavement for everybody else. And as I said, it should have been Saul who fought Goliath. But he had fallen so far away from God by this time, he was operating in the flesh so much that he'd lost his ability to trust. And so David, a simple teenager who was there at the battle site for the simple reason his dad had sent him there to bring some food to his brothers who were in the army. And as David heard the taunts and the boasts of Goliath, and as David heard Goliath cursing God, his blood began to boil. His righteous indignation raised up, and he began to ask, you know, why isn't anybody fighting him? Why? What's going on here? And all the soldiers, they, including his brothers, they mocked him. They said, "Oh, just shut up. You're just a little squirt. You think you know so much, but you don't." And they were literally making fun of him. I think there were cackles of laughter when David volunteered. I think there was derision of all kind when he volunteered. Saul, he had no better options. He had no better options, so he decided, "I'm going to let this teenager have a shot at this." And so he offered David his own armor, but it was big and cumbersome on David, and so he rejected it. His trust was not in his armor. His trust was in God. Goliath, as he saw David striding out, Goliath was literally offended that this little squirt was coming to face him. And you hear the words of David. Listen to the words of David as he comes out to oppose Goliath. He is making constant reference to God as he faces him. David makes two brief comments, almost as an aside, about Goliath. Nothing about his height or age or his armor or anything like that. But there are 9 times that David references the Lord and the Lord's strength. David's God thoughts outnumber his Goliath thoughts 9-2. Even when he is staring Goliath in the face, even when he is striding toward Goliath, even when he's coming toward Goliath, his God thoughts outnumber his Goliath thoughts. How about you? How about us? In the things that we face, in the circumstances that we face, in the situations that we face, do our God thoughts outnumber our problem thoughts? Or do we tend to dwell so much on the problem that the problem seems overwhelming and God seems to shrink in size? Think about it. Are you really more than four times likely to think about God as you are about your problems? If we're going to be overcomers in 2019, we need to focus on the right thing, and that focus needs to be on the Lord. And we need to keep our eyes on him, and we need to keep our eyes on the big picture. David thought about the previous times that God had given him the victory. He spoke about how he killed the lion and the bear when he was watching his sheep. He understood how God was with him then. And to him, this is just another situation that God's going to see him through. If you are old enough to have a memory, you can remember times when God has seen you through. Let the memory of his past faithfulness strengthen you now. That's the basis for your faith now, when you remember how faithful God has been to you in the past. So here in 2019, remember 2018 and 2017 and 2016, and depending on how old you are, years past, remember those episodes, those times in the past when God has been so faithful, when God saw you through, when God strengthened you when you were out of strength, when God brought you through a difficult situation that you had no idea how he was going to do it. Remember those times and understand that God has not changed and his feelings toward you have not changed, and he will see you through for his glory and your good. When Jim Jones, a little boy named Jim Jones, when he was 5 years old, he was shuttled from his family home in Mississippi to northern Michigan to live with his grandparents. The trauma of the move caused him to begin stuttering. And he learned to hate school because, as a result, all the other kids made fun of him. He learned, just as kind of a defense mechanism, to speak as little as possible. But instead, as kind of an outlet, he wrote poetry. Well, when Jim was a teenager, a new teacher arrived, a retired Mennonite who loved poetry. His name was Donald Crouch. And when Crouch heard about Jim, he asked him to read some of his poetry. But Jim just turned his head and walked away. He didn't want any part of that. Well, in class one morning, Crouch decided he'd trick Jones. Taking one of his poems, he said, "I don't believe you wrote this. You have to read it before the class." Well, with knees shaking and all the kids snickering at him, Jim began to read. To his amazement, he found that the rhythm of the poetry enabled his words to flow naturally. That day, Jim did not stutter. He continued to practice reading poetry and had discovered he had a good voice. And after he graduated, he received his college degree, he served in the Army, and he returned home to study on the GI Bill. Today, we know young Jim Jones as James Earl Jones, the famous voice of Darth Vader in the original Star Wars movies. Years later, Jones was asked to record the New Testament, and he dedicated his reading to Donald Crouch, who had given him the victory over his disability. As Jones put it, "Crouch not only helped to guide me to the author of the scriptures, but as the father of my resurrected voice, also helped me find abundant life." As you folks reflect on your past victories, they will strengthen you today. You know, we are encouraged, and I think it was just maybe last week, even in the sermon, I encouraged you to all to tell God your problems, and we should certainly do that. But sometimes I think we need to talk to our problems about God. We need to tell our problems about God. David did. We need to preach the goodness of God to our problems. as well as God's promises and the victory that he's won for you. Remind your problems who is greater. Remind your problems who is greater. So as you're facing whatever it might be that you are facing, face it with boldness and confidence and humility. Face it, face that problem, reminding it, and in essence reminding yourself that the God who is on your side is greater than that problem. Remind yourself that no matter what you are facing, and it may seem 10 feet tall to you, it is the size, it's the size of a pea compared to God. Compared to God, our problems, folks, are minuscule in scale. This coming year, if we want to be overcomers, we cannot run from our problems. We literally need to go toward them. David went running toward Goliath. He was getting, what was he doing? Was he running to get it over with? No, he was running toward Goliath for a very practical reason. He was running toward Goliath to get Goliath in the range of his slingshot. Sometimes we need to go towards our problems to get them in the range of our prayer lives. As we confront and deal with whatever comes our way, and as we bring them to God in prayer, our prayers are like David's slingshot. We get in close, we get in range, and we pray, and God goes to work. Some of the, Goliath was, taunting the Israelites. He taunted them morning and night. For me, the middle of the night is when worry attacks me the most. I get up oftentimes in the middle of the night and I start thinking about things and I start brooding about things and I start thinking about what's ahead. And sometimes it takes me a while because I get lost in the bigness of what seems to be the problems. And sometimes it takes me a while to remind myself, Lord, you are greater. I have to remind myself who is bigger, the problems or the Lord. Sometimes I have to literally preach to the problems and say, yes, this is an issue, but God, you are greater. We are, like David, to confront our problems. We're not to ignore them, and we're not to postpone dealing with them. And as we are going toward our problems, remember who we're fighting for. I love this from David. He said, you come at me with the sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, scary things. And did you hear the size of those things that Goliath was toting? I mean, they're enormous. And I can only imagine, it was terrifying to all the Israelite soldiers. But yet here is this teenager. He says, you're coming at me with all that. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. As we face the coming year, may we enter into each day, coming into each day in the name of the Lord. May each day as we deal with whatever comes our way, each day as we are aware something is ahead of us that may be a little foreboding, may we be reminded, as long as I go through this with the Lord, it will be all right. As long as God is with me, he will see me through. We are called to be overcomers, both as individuals and as the church. To be an overcomer in 2019, remember 2018. And remember the earlier years when God has given you the victories. Talk to your problems about the Lord. Be reminded at that time of how wonderful he is, how powerful he is, and how he has seen you through so many times in the past. It is not the size of your problems that matter. It is not. They may seem like they're 10 feet tall, but God is infinitely bigger. It does not bring, and I'm speaking to myself more than anybody else here, it does not bring honor to our wonderful, amazing, powerful God when things come at us and we quiver in the corner like a scared child.
it does not bring honor to God. No, we are to face what comes our way with courage, with boldness, with humility, and with a reliance upon the Lord. That brings honor to God. And that is how we are to face the coming year. And that is how we, as individuals in a church, are overcomers when we face those things in His strength. And so today, I ask you, are you facing something that's a little scary to you? Are you facing something and perhaps you've been trying to deal with it in your own strength? Perhaps it's not even something specific, but it's just a sense of foreboding. And who can blame anybody for having a sense of foreboding about the future? As you look around, as you listen to the news, it's very easy to fall into that pessimistic sense of foreboding. But God is greater. God is on the throne. God is with you. And God, whatever God leads you into, God will lead you through, and God will lead you out of. You can trust Him. So folks, let us be a church of overcomers. If you know today, I can't handle this myself. I'm tired of trying to handle this in my own strength. If you realize you need the strength of the Lord today, the altar is open and the invitation is given. Let it be said that 2019, this was a year when we began to live like the King's kids, when we began to live like overcomers. That's what we're called to do. So as our worship team comes forward at this time, let us commit our way to the Lord. The faith, I imagine in my mind's eye, and I think this is a very good guess, David was younger than you guys here. 9'6", 500 pounds, the greatest warrior they had. But because David trusted God, look at what God did through him. I don't care if you're 5, 50, or 100. Trust God and watch what God does through you. This year, commit your way to the Lord and be an overcomer. The altar's open, the invitation given. Lord, we have seen you move mountains in years past, and we know you're going to move mountains in the lives of the congregation in 2019 and the life of the church as a whole in 2019. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that in your strength we are overcomers and need not fear. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. As that scripture in Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was true then, and it is true now, and it will forever be true. And for that, we praise you. So we go now in boldness and in confidence, in humility and in trust, and in joy and assurance, knowing that you are with us, and we will give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen.